ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
You see, that's the perspective we need to have. God is not some tyrant ready to smack us. He's a loving Father that cares for us. And Joseph, I think, understood this. Look at verse 11 here in Genesis 39. We're told, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and ran outside. I think Potiphar's wife, because of the position she had, usually got what she wanted. And when Joseph kept refusing her, she took the situation into her own hands. The house is empty except for Joseph. She says, lie with me. And all Joseph could think of doing is fleeing. She grabbed his garment and he took off, either naked or with some kind of undergarment of, I don't know, but he fled. Isn't that what the Bible tells us to do? Flee fornication? Absolutely. Flee idolatry. You know, those youthful lusts, that's what Joseph was doing. Yeah, I know Paul talks about it in the New Testament, but it doesn't mean that principle is not seen here in the Old Testament. 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul said, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, flee those youthful lusts. Pursue the things that are good, the things of God, and it's a choice. And here's the thing, you know, just because you're not 20 or 30 anymore, maybe 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, I don't know. Doesn't mean those loose, youthful lusts go away. They're still there. Satan still tempts us. He tries to stop the work of God. And we have to be aware of that. We have to be careful because that's exactly what was going on here. Did God provide a way out for Joseph? Yeah. But he had to take those steps and flee, right? He had to run away, not linger. Joseph did what was right. And you think, well, God's going to honor that, right? Everything's going to work out fine because he's doing what's right. Well, fine in our eyes or fine in the eyes of God, how they're going to work out? Well, it's not going to work out like we would think because of the actions of Joseph. Look at what happens in verse 13. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. Talk about an evil woman, right? That was Potiphar's wife. She wanted Joseph. He rejected her advances. And because she got what she wanted most of the time, but not here, she's really angry. What does she do? First of all, she calls the servants in. You guys got to hear what this guy Joseph did, what this slave did. And she tells her story. This guy tried to rape me and left his garment here. Then she tells her husband the same thing. Now, put yourself in Potiphar's shoes. Your wife just told you that your slave tried to rape your wife. What are you going to do? He couldn't ignore it. And she knew because of what she accused Joseph of, he was a dead man walking. There's a death sentence on him. How sad. To this woman, Joseph was just someone to use and then throw away. She doesn't even call him by his name. And for Potiphar, what's his job? He's the head of the executioners in the prison, right? He's the head of the prison, head of the executioners. Wow. How can that be? Joseph did everything that was right, and now all this is happening to him. What's the problem for us? We see what's right in front of us, don't we? We can't see the big picture. Now, we know the story of Joseph. So we look at this and go, oh, look at the hand of God. Look at how God is working this all out. This is awesome. This is great. God is doing an amazing thing. Oh, yeah. Now put yourself in Joseph's shoes right now. I don't think you'd feel that way. What is happening? I'm trying to do everything that's right. Every time I do, I get knocked down again, right? What did Paul say in Romans 8:28? For we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. And, you know, I would think that's a verse we love to quote to others, right, that are going through a difficult time. Brother, sister, you know, all things work together for good to those who love God. Don't worry, man, it's going to work out. But then when it happens, suffer, like, oh my gosh, you can't believe what's happening, right? Why don't we believe that verse? We want it for everyone else. We need to believe it. I think Joseph believed that. Even though that's a New Testament verse, he knew the principle. Just because I don't see things working out, just because I don't feel things are working out for good, what do I know? I know this. I know all things will work out for good. I may not understand it, the totality of it all on this side of heaven, but many times I will. And it's just trusting in God. Joseph trusted in the Lord, but again, look what happens in verse 19 here in Genesis 39. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's masters took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Let me ask you a question here. This is kind of interesting. Who is Potiphar mad at, Joseph or his wife? It doesn't say, does it? I think he was mad at his wife because why? Because he saw Joseph day in and day out for years working in his house, his faithfulness in service, everything he did. He also knew his wife and what she did. And I think he was mad at her because now he was losing someone he trusted very much. He had to do something. It would look bad if he didn't put him in prison, especially with this accusation against Joseph. But he wasn't going to put him to death. If he really believed that Joseph raped his wife, this guy would have been dead immediately. And it didn't happen. One writer summed it up like this. He said, death was the only penalty Joseph could reasonably expect. His reprieve presumably owed much to the respect he had won. And Potiphar's mingled wrath and restraint may reflect a faint misgiving about the full accuracy of the charge. Absolutely. But think about the situation that Joseph is in. His brothers throw him into a pit wanting to kill him, said they make a profit off him by selling him to Midianite traders. The Midianite slave or traders sell Joseph to Potiphar as a slave in Egypt. He serves Potiphar faithfully for a number of years. Now he's falsely accused of raping Potiphar's wife. He's thrown into prison. This prison was a subterranean dungeon. Maybe it was even attached to Potiphar's home. We don't know, but a lot of times they were. It seems to be as you look at verse 3 here in chapter 40 of Genesis. But put yourself in his shoes now. Think about it. How would you respond? I mean, all the good that you tried to do, it seemed to get knocked down again and again and again. What's the use, man? I don't know what God is doing here. I don't know what I'm doing. I just give up. It's not worth it anymore, right? Before you travel down that path, pay attention to what Joseph does, because he's an example of what we're to do, especially in the days we're living in. Look at verse 21 here in Genesis 39. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's hand because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Is that incredible or what? I mean, he's a slave, right? He does his best job he can. And the Lord blesses him, bless Potiphar. Now he's thrown into prison. And God's blessing him again because he's serving faithfully. Wow. Joseph is placed in a position of authority in the prison. I know it doesn't sound great, but you're a prisoner and you're in charge, right? Spurgeon said the Lord was with Joseph nonetheless when he was cast into the prison. He knew God was with him in prison, and therefore he did not sit down sullenly in his sorrow, but he bestirred himself to make the best of his afflicted condition. Man, what an example. I mean, as you read the story, do you see Joseph in the center of God's will? We should, because that's exactly where he's at. This is exactly where God wanted him. This is how God was going to use him. Before God could use Joseph mightily, Joseph was going to be broken. And that's true in our own lives. Why? Because I think many times, if we're never broken, we're going to think we're somebody. Think of Moses. Moses thought he was somebody, right? Down in Egypt, I'm going to deliver my people. I'm going to kill them. Kill one Egyptian at a time. I just got a few million to go. Killed one. And then when Pharaoh found out, Moses left town. For 40 years, he's 80 years old, and God calls Moses. Moses, I want you to go to deliver my people. I'm 80 years old. Are you kidding me? He didn't say that. But he did have some struggles. No longer was he this bold, proud guy. I'm going to do this. He was a very humble man. And I think God was working in Joseph so he could use him mightily. It's interesting when you look at the various verses here in Genesis that talk about Joseph, because we see him blessed by God because he's right where God wants him to be. Genesis 39:2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Genesis 39:3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Genesis 39:5, so it was from this time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Genesis 39:21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And Genesis 39:23. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Isn't it interesting? You know, who were the guys that were in prison? Were they the stellar men of society? No, they were criminals. They were crooks. And yet the keeper of the prison didn't even need to look into what Joseph was doing, because he trusted him. Wow. The Lord was with Joseph in spite of the circumstances that surrounded him. All things work together for good, right? The Amplified Bible puts Romans 8:28 like this. We are sure to know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Yeah. Does God have a plan for our lives like he had for Joseph? Absolutely he does. Absolutely. And he knows what he's doing, but we have to walk by faith. Remember when Paul was in prison in Rome? He's awaiting to be executed, put to death for his faith in Christ. And he writes the second letter to Timothy. And in chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Paul said, "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." You know what? As long as you're walking with the Lord, it doesn't matter where you're at, the situations you find yourself in, God will use it. And it's not always easy. And I think it's going to get a lot tougher. I think for many Christians over the last, 20 years maybe, it's been really easy. The last few years haven't, but prior to that, it's been pretty easy. You know, the illustration is Christians think that life on planet Earth is like being on a cruise ship. And you won't find that anywhere in the scriptures. We're on a battleship. We're at war. And is it going to get tough? I think it's going to get a lot tougher for us. But why are we afraid? Remember David when he was going to battle Goliath and the children of Israel were all in fear? Even King Saul was fearful. And David said, "Hey, the Lord is with me. I'm going after this guy." Is the Lord with us? Absolutely. Does the Lord want the gospel to go forward during the dark days we're living in? Absolutely. So why are we fearful? Well, what if something bad happens to us? I don't know. I read a lot of stories in the scriptures and a lot of bad things happen to God's people. And God used them mightily. You know, John Bunyan, right? Pilgrim's Progress? If you haven't read it, read it. It's a great story. They tried to silence John Bunyan, and they put him in prison. And he would go out, and there was a gate around the prison, and he would preach, and thousands of people would come to hear him preach while he's in prison. Well, that irritated the guards even more. So then they put him deep down into the prison, no windows, nothing, you know. And that's where he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Where did John write the book of Revelation? On the island of Patmos. A godforsaken island, barren, rocky place, horrible. It's a prison camp. And God gave him that revelation. Does God use us in the good times and the bad times? Absolutely. And we see that here. We're servants of God. God can use us anywhere at any time. Let's be open. Let's be aware. Well, look at chapter 40, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. So even when Joseph was put in prison for something he didn't do, he served the Lord faithfully. He's in charge of all the prisoners. And God is going to use the events that happen in people's lives to fulfill his plan and purpose. Two of Pharaoh's servants, the butler, who was in charge of Pharaoh's wine, the baker, who was in charge of Pharaoh's food, are both thrown into prison. Important positions. You know, they not only tasted the drink for the king to make sure it wasn't poisoned. I don't know if that's a great job or not, but they cooked the food, involved in ceremonies involving the worship of the Egyptian god Horus. They carried the ceremonial bread and wine to be offered to this god at various ceremonies. But something happened. These guys got on the wrong side of Pharaoh. I think there was an assassination plot against Pharaoh's life. And Pharaoh didn't know who it was. Is it my butler or the baker? They're both in charge of food, drink. I'm putting them both in prison until I can figure this thing out. And the captain of the guard who was overseeing this prison, again, we don't have to guess because Genesis 39:2 tells us it was Potiphar. And remember, Potiphar knew Joseph. And he knew the charges against him were false. And he's in charge, the boss of the prisoners. What's interesting, because, you know, when people are placed in higher positions, they kind of gets, their head gets big. Not Joseph. According to verse 4, he serves the butler and the baker. Wow. You know, titles can be a dangerous thing. I've seen it where you give someone a title and all of a sudden, nope, I'm so-and-so. I don't do that. I only do this because that's my title. I take care of. Are you kidding? If I did that as a pastor, I wouldn't do anything but teach, which is pretty important. But if there's garbage in the parking lot, do you think I'm going to leave it for the guys that clean the parking lot? No, I'm going to pick it up. Why? Because I'm a servant. And that was Joseph. And what did Jesus say? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. There's our example. God has given each of us a talent, gifts, to build up the body of Christ. We just need to use them. That's what Joseph is doing. It wasn't that he had to, but he wanted to serve the Lord. And that's how we should feel. Look at verse 5 here in Genesis 40. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, dreamed a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" Does God give the unsaved dreams? Yeah. I mean, we see examples of it in the scriptures. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has a dream of this multi-metallic image. Who comes to interpret that dream? Daniel. Obviously, God gave him the interpretation. And Babylon, yeah, was down the road, but dreams were a big part of the Egyptian life. They believed dreams put them in contact with the spirit world. And if you had a pair of dreams, it was an indication that it would come to pass. The problem was, what do the dreams mean? These guys didn't know. They're in prison. But I'll tell you, they had books. Remember the Babylonians? They had these book of dreams. So, oh, you dream that? Well, let's look that up here. Oh, here it is. This is what the dream means. Kind of fishy to me, but whatever. And I think that's what they had in Egypt as well. And here's this Hebrew man, Joseph. He's going to interpret their dreams. They didn't really like, they weren't in favor of anyone but the Egyptians themselves. So to come to Joseph at all was a big thing for them. But what I find fascinating here is Joseph sees something wrong with these guys. Why do you look so sad today? What does that tell you about Joseph? That he paid attention to these guys, how they behaved, their attitudes. Joseph wasn't self-centered or consumed with himself, but he was other-centered. Something changed with the butler and the baker. Something's troubling them. What's wrong, guys? Do you see, here's a guy that had compassion for others. He was in tune with what was going on in their lives that day and really every day. Now something changed, and wow. We need to pay attention to people we come in contact with. My wife was at a store the other day and had asked one of the workers there where something was located. This woman yelled at my wife that she was busy and this and that. I'm like, all right, okay. So, she went down the aisle a little farther, and before long, the woman came, I need to get by, get out of my way, I guess. And Julie was telling me all this that's going on. I'm thinking, and we were talking, and she's like, something was going on with her. I don't know what it was, but that's just not a normal response. Even if you don't like your job and you don't like people, that's not normal. So I wonder what's going on. You pray for her. That's all you could do. You see, we don't know what everyone is going through unless you pay attention to, unless you listen to them, unless you take that time. And that's what I think Joseph is doing here. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is love and reaching out to people. I think when you look at our world today, I think that is the big thing that's missing, love. And I don't mean Hollywood love. What I mean is this love for people. Look at how angry people are. You can't even disagree with people, because now if you disagree, you're hateful and intolerant and this. We've lost that love. And we as Christians have to be careful there, that we don't behave like the world. We behave like Christ would, because we want them to come to know the Lord. It's again, not an easy situation for Joseph to be in, but he's using it to honor the Lord. And I don't know, you think about this guy and go, man, he keeps getting, lifted up and put in positions. That could never happen to me. And then I thought about it. I'm kind of looking at my life and I'm going, well, man, if I was really honest with myself, God has blessed me so much. I mean, I was placed in situations where I was actually going to be an x-ray tech. When I got out of high school, that was my thing, x-ray tech. And I started working in a hospital, and I ended up being an orderly on a neurological floor. And I thought, that's where I want to work. God changed my whole focus. So I became a nurse. And I got my LPN degree. I was working on a cardiology floor. And God gave me a passion to work in the ICU. Got my RN degree. I was really young. I was in my early 20s. And they do not hire people fresh out of school for the ICU, especially someone as young as I was. And they gave me the position. I was blown away. And then a few years later, a position for a nursing supervisor over the ICU, CCU, telemetry unit, ER, surgery opened up. Well, I didn't have a bachelor's degree. I had an associate degree, and the job required a bachelor's degree. But my wife talked with me, and I prayed about it, and I go to work, and several people, even one of the nursing supervisors, said, Joe, you should try out for this position. Just go apply for it. Thinking, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm not going to get this job. I got the job. It was unbelievable. And I see how God works. He raises you up to different things. God used that so much in my life. And I think that's what God is doing here with Joseph. Now, were there difficulties within those positions? Absolutely. There were things I had to learn through them, and they were hard, but God's always working. Look at verse 8. And they said to him, "We each have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Again, dreams played an important role in Egypt. So these guys are troubled. They didn't know what it meant. They didn't have anyone to go to except for Joseph there. What's going on, guys? Oh, man, we had these dreams. We don't know what they mean.
Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.